Before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to let you know we have released a limited Sportsfeld and Red Door collaboration t-shirt. It's available now at shop.sportsfeld.ca. If you don't know about them, since 1982, the Red Door Family Shelter has supported women and families in crisis with two emergency shelters and an active outreach program in Toronto. They continue to serve families during this time of great need during COVID-19. With this in mind, Sportsfeld, we have chosen to partner with the Red Door Family Shelter to raise awareness of their services in our communities. We are donating 100% of the proceeds to the limited edition Sportsfeld Red Door t-shirt. It says, stay home and listen to Sportsfeld. That's what you should be doing. Hopefully you are. Reinforce the idea that when we work together to help each other, we can change lives. We all deserve to be safe, happy, and healthy. If you or somebody you know requires shelter, please call Central Family Intake at 416-397-5637. If you're a woman seeking shelter from situations of violence, call the Red Door Crisis Line at 416-423-0310. If you can spare the money, the limited t-shirt is available. As I said before, shop.sportsfeld.ca. Thank you for listening. We now start you with your regularly scheduled Sportsfeld. Sportsfeld, we are back at it with routine. It's become a weekly tradition once again.
That's good, though.
Absolutely. We are, I don't even know how many weeks into not having sports or anything.
I want to say many weeks? I want to say six.
Boy, oh
it's
boy.
6 or 7.
6 weeks since I saw you. The last person I saw.
So then it's six.
Wow. Stuff is, I don't know. I feel like there was a sort of a upward trajectory in morale this week. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want to speak for non-Ontarians, but I think just hearing that like any indication that what we're doing is working at all, I think helped.
Right.
I think I'm now concerned, obviously, that like everyone's excited, so we're going to mess it up and like stop too early.
Yeah. Summer, but, it's been terrible out. So yeah, summer will be a test once it gets.
Yes, I agree. I think, I don't know, I felt hearing it all that like, oh, like maybe we're at the peak now. Mm-hmm. Even though there's been like lots of other bad news, just hearing that was just, I think we're just so starved for anything resembling like something positive.
Yeah. There was other bad news. That's a good point. It was a rough week in that regard, but, yeah, man, another week of being isolated. what did you get up to? Because,
what did I get up to?
Quiet week on my end. Yeah. What did you watch, basically?
We've been going through rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm. We're almost done that now. So that would be the fourth television show that we've finished in 6 weeks. Still working a little bit, which is good and bad. I'm finding like motivation to work is really low. Like just every day is kind of like, oh, I don't feel like doing this at all. But at the same time, I'm grateful for like something resembling routine and also grateful for like still having a job, which I know a lot of people do not. It was a pretty standard week. We had a very nice trivia night with our friends on Friday.
That was majorly. Trivia was a major week maker.
Yeah, it was amazing. Our friend, for our group chat, our friend basically made a bar trivia, but all of the questions were sort of thematically tailored to all of us.
And yeah, it was really impressive the way that like Maddox was an answer, but it was a question about something totally unrelated. It was really well done.
It wasn't even about Greg Maddox.
No, it was about Angelina Jolie's kid.
That's right. How are you doing? I know last week you were feeling kind of not awesome. How you feeling this week?
It's been up and down. I managed to play Call of Duty Warzone with some of my college friends
on headsets
and stuff. It's been fun. That trivia night as well was really good. Those small social things. Trying to keep the place a little cleaner. Trying to like start my day every day with like just something small.
That's key.
It's a work in progress.
For sure. I mean, I think this whole thing is a work in progress. None of us know what we're doing with it.
Yeah. I ordered really good coffee. Yes, we did too.
That's been really nice. Yeah.
We also did really good coffee
and really good groceries have been like, it's amazing how much, not even getting the shipment of groceries, but like ordering them made me feel so nice. I don't know why.
I was thinking to that end, sort of when the coffee arrived, I was thinking about how this might fundamentally change me as a more conscious, like of where I buy things. Buy things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Like trying to avoid going through Loblaws, for example, for things that I don't need to go there for, or that I can get, you know, I can get better coffee than I would just get off the shelf at Loblaws.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like I think I mentioned last week, we did groceries from this Grow Gather & Co. place, and it's all like local Toronto stuff. And we were both just kind of like, wow, this is, I think I said last week, like I feel better for eating better food.
Right.
And like, not only is it local and supporting local, which is great, but it's just like, maybe we can do this like all the time.
Right.
And when like, maybe we
understand that it's privilege to be able to do that.
Oh my God. Yes.
But, you know, you may as well make something positive out of that privilege.
Yeah.
If you can. Boy, what else? I made huevos rancheros today.
Okay. Yeah. I love huevos rancheros. And
leftover taco stuff. We also have the t-shirt program, right? The t-shirt program. Three t-shirts on our small family of podcasts. Jake, do you want to talk about what Resting on Pretty and CHP are doing with it?
Sure. Yeah. We, in this time of uncertainty and strife and all those things, we are kind of doing what we can. So as Zoob said, our three little podcasts all have a t-shirt up, with 100% of the proceeds going to three different charities. So Columbia House Party, which is myself and Blake Murphy, as you know, have a t-shirt up that says Columbia Stay in Your House Party. And all the proceeds of that are going to Kids Help Phone, which if you don't know, Kids Help Phone is a charity for youth mental health, which obviously in these sort of very terrifying, depressing, uncertain, whatever times, any mental health help is appreciated and good, and they do great work and have done great work for many, many years. Resting on Pretty have partnered with Maggie's Toronto, which is a charity that protects and helps and houses sex workers in Toronto who are among the most vulnerable always, but especially financially right now through this. Their income stream is not really something that can continue. So they are doing great work in the city for them. And Zoob, do you want to do ours?
Sportsfield, we are working with Red Door Shelter, which is... they support women and families in crisis with emergency shelters and an outreach program in Toronto. They serve families in need and provide them shelter. And, you know, having to stay at home can be not that hard for us to do when we have a bunch of stuff to entertain us. But there are people where staying home can be really bad news. And Red Door Shelter helps those people. And we are happy to work with them. As you said, 100%. Of all proceeds go to those three causes. That's shop.restingonpretty.com or shop.columbiahouseparty.com or shop.sportsfield.ca. To get one of those shirts, 100% of the proceeds go to those great causes. Speaking of cuz and stuff, we are getting beer again in May. Total tonal shift there, but we get free stuff and we celebrate that. That starts next month. But for now, Jake, what have you been drinking this week?
I'm still working my way through my order from Salter Street last week. I'm currently drinking the It's About Bloody Time English Ale, as I was last week. I've actually...
One of the later ones that we got on the show.
So I've quite enjoyed my Salter Street order. I got the About Bloody Time. I also got their Life's a Hazy Beach Hazy IPA, which has been delicious. It's kind of like, has like a coconutty flavor to it almost, but it's with an IPA. Their Spring Bock has been great. And I also got their Copper Ale, which I believe we drank, which is quite good. Cassie also put in an order with West Avenue Cider and got just a like metric fuck ton of cider in our house. She got the Heritage Dry Apple and the Cheriosity Cherry. And she's been quite happy with that as a person who doesn't really drink beer, but likes her cider. And I don't know what I'm going to order this week. I haven't decided yet. So it's, if anyone would like to give me some suggestions, please do.
I'm working my way through. Oh, you hear that?
There it is. That,
yeah. My Great Lakes Brewery order. Delicious. Pompous Ass, I'm having there. We also have the Blonde. Very gracious, easy delivery, and very good beer. Also to remind you, there is a new episode of Sportsfeld Storytime, which comes out on Friday. That's on our Patreon. We are talking Raptors 76, 2001, the Vince Carter shot. That was an emotional journey for us to go through one more time.
Very fun.
Let me go
though.
Through it on the Patreon. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And that's sports, and we are going to talk about sports. We have some sports stuff we'll stretch out, and we'll do that in just a minute. All right, another week of a crazy time, an unbelievable time. We wait for sports to come back anywhere in the world. And we look for little glimmers of hope that maybe we're closer than we I guess, realistically actually are. Off of nothing. We're looking for more than nothing. That's all we really need. Right? It's all I need. I think this week I am maybe a little more optimistic than I was this time last week about maybe some sports that we know being able to come back and maybe some seasons getting finished in some kind of creative way.
Yeah, not here though.
No, not in Toronto. There's no chance. And we're not going to again.
No, like are you more optimistic on North American sports coming back?
I think we might get a baseball season. I don't know. That's sort of maybe there's an NBA playoffs. Like I that's the sort
interesting.
Of
interesting.
Yeah.
So
with
I'm curious
teams,
what
maybe eight what, teams total.
Interesting. What spawned this idea and this sort of optimism?
Well, there are leagues that around the world we Bundesliga is trying to come back May 9th. They're playing baseball in Taiwan and those places are obviously ahead of where the United States is. But also we're talking about billionaires trying to find a place for their millionaires to play, and
right.
That has influence. It has influence that can they can get what the general population of Florida cannot get, and that is sort of the ability to buy themselves a little bit of safety and a little bit of space, I guess, more than anything.
Are you advocating for Fight Island again?
It feels like they might do Baseball Island. Or baseball county.
That would just be so insane.
Yes. Yes, it would. But we
and
watched
like
Death Race this week.
And
it was like,
watch Death
you know what? Maybe the first lines of Death Race is like the nation's economy collapses and unemployment hits all-time high. And we're like, oh.
So us watching Death Race is what made you optimistic about baseball coming back?
Well, I mean, that's sports.
It's good enough for Statham, I guess.
I don't know. Am I crazy? Are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or totally unmoved of where you were last week?
I think I'm more optimistic with a huge dash of not thinking it's a good idea.
Sure.
Like, I definitely believe that the idea of Baseball Island or Baseball County or whatever you want to call it either will or could happen. I am not convinced it should happen.
Baseball City, USA. Just think of it.
It's just like if one person involved gets sick, then A, the whole thing has to be shut down. And then what? We're quarantining a county full of baseball men? Like, it just, yeah. It seems like so many of these ideas about bringing sports back in North America. I don't really know enough across the pond or overseas to have enough information for what logistics are there. But at least in North America, it just seems like the ideas on the surface are solid. And like, yes, we all want it back and all those things. But like, if you think about it with any sort of like what if scenarios, it just falls apart.
It does.
Imagine they do Baseball County and they start playing and then like Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw get sick.
Sure.
And then they have to shut the whole, or whoever, anybody gets sick. Fucking Ezekiel Carrera, if he was still in the league, gets sick. It doesn't matter. And then they have to shut the whole league down, first of all, and they won't go back. And then they're all together, so it'll spread. Or I just don't see how that happens. With, as we said last week, I don't see how you can consciously justify it without daily testing. And I don't see how you can daily test a bunch of fucking athletes and not like the population of Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, that's, well, there are less, you know, you are looking at, if you have access to daily testing, it's only,
right.
It would be like 500 people, right? It wouldn't be.
Right, sure.
The population of Georgia is much bigger.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I just don't think it, until like they can even decide on like what the states are doing, I don't know how you can bring anything back in North America.
Baseball County, USA.
But, you know, if Bundesliga wants to come back and they can do it safely, I will get into some Bundesliga every morning in the weekend.
Sure. Like, whatever.
I will, what 100%. 100% I will get invested in that.
Okay. So here's a crazy idea, right? Is they're playing baseball in Taiwan. Yes?
Yes.
So send the major leaguers to Taiwan and just play Major League Baseball in Taiwan. What's it matter to me where they play it? They're not playing it here.
In a vacuum, I agree with you. I don't know how the people of Taiwan will feel about 500 Americans suddenly showing up in their country that's finally beat the virus.
Rich ones. They're all rich.
Sure. It's not the war. Honestly, I like I like that more than Baseball County, because at least the virus seems to be under control enough for baseball to exist there.
Hmm.
It won't happen, but I like it. All sports just moved to Taiwan and Germany. Or whatever.
so many people, extra million people, just there to see sport.
Well, because like the EPL put out a thing the other day saying like to make one game happen, you need like without fans, you need like 300 people, which is too many people. Like, I think I think a lot of, not us because we're smart, but like the dumbs will be like, just let them play in isolation. And they think it's like 18 people. It's like the people on the field and that's it. But like, that's not how it works.
300 people seems about right. Yeah. Then they would know there, an EPL team.
It's just so many. That's so many people.
Yeah. It's a lot of people. And a lot of, like, once you get the field of play, everyone is one giant blob of sweat.
Yeah. Like my local drugstore is allowing 50 people in the store at a time. So we're talking a 10 times that, running around and tackling each other and being in close proximity.
Do you think the NFL will happen? What are your thoughts there? Because that's September, October.
If there's any sport that's going to do it, it's definitely the NFL. Like,
for sure. The NFL draft, I want to say, is tomorrow.
Nothing's more American than ignoring this and playing football, I guess.
And you have to think, like, the people that are protesting, the doofuses, eventually they're going to be more of them, and they may actually have some influence here. America seems to want to be open.
I don't know. There's a. I read a poll today that it's 10%. It's polling at 10%. Yeah. It's
astroturfing. Yeah.
Like, someone had a good tweet. I don't know who it was, but someone had a good tweet. Like, do you have any idea how stupid an idea has to be for only 10% of Americans to support it? Which I thought was an interesting way to phrase it.
The NFL draft does start.
If any sport's going to do it, it's the NFL for sure.
Speaking of the NFL and wrestling, the 24/7 champion in WWE, Rob Gronkowski, is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Coming back.
As is Tom Brady, which we have not talking about. We haven't said a word about that.
So I want to talk about it, not necessarily about the story itself, because I don't really care, but the notion of Tom Brady being Tom Brady, changing teams, and no one is talking about it because of everything, is pretty wild.
Yeah, this would be like an all-timer, I think, in other circumstance.
There are several sports stories I feel like they're just not really being discussed that are like big deals. Like, I know we're going to talk about in a second, but like the Red Sox punishments today, or even the Astros cheating like a month and a half ago, has just disappeared.
Yeah, crazy. We would just give anything for any baseball. So I don't even care if the Astros cheated.
Totally.
It doesn't even matter.
But like, Tom Brady left the Patriots, and Rob Gronkowski is coming out of retirement to go play with Tom Brady, not on the Patriots. And it's like, all right, okay. It's nuts. You're right. That would be like the biggest sports story in years, normally.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Especially the Gronk part of it, because he was retired.
He was wrestling 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, at WrestleMania, he won a title. we have the Red Sox penalties. You mentioned it. They lose a 2020 second round pick. The replay operator, he's banned through the 2020 playoffs. And from doing the same job in 21. And Alex Cora is banned through the 20 playoffs.
Can we talk about how much it rules that the person who has been punished the harshest in all of this cheating is the Red Sox replay guy?
Yeah, take it on the chin. They're like, just not going to have a season, so whatever. You know? Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, sure, suspend Cora for the year, but like, if there's no season, then does he get suspended next year?
I bet not.
I would also guess not.
I would say, well, you didn't get paid for that, I guess. I don't know if anybody knows he's getting paid. No one's getting paid. Second round pick, too. Whatever. Fuck him.
Yeah, for sure, fuck him.
It's hard.
I also don't understand baseball drafts, so I don't know what the second round pick means.
Just a second.
Is that good? Pick. Does anyone care?
It's not like it should be okay. You should probably get a player, but maybe not. And MLB draft, who knows? You could pick top 10 and not get a great guy. Anyway, that's about that. I got nothing. Yeah, anything else? Sports? You haven't watched Last Dance?
Which I've not watched Last Dance yet.
Sports.
I do want to watch it because everyone's talking about it, but I have not watched it yet.
It's new sports content, which is all a lot of us need. Michael Jordan, quite good at basketball, turns out.
The only thing I know about it, and I want to check to know if this is in the special or if it's just like people talking about the Bulls because they're talking about, was this thing going around that Scottie Pippen was almost traded for Tracy McGrady in 97?
Crazy. crazy.
Which, like, talk a lot about the what if Tracy had stayed, especially on Sports Old Storytime, which you can find on our Patreon every Friday. But, like, what if Scottie Pippen had come here instead? Crazy. We just could have had old Antonio Davis, old Scottie Pippen, and Vince.
Hey, that would have been fun with me.
That would have been real fun.
Scottie was amazing. And he was so ridiculously underpaid. They showed that.
Oh, really?
He's like 130th in the league in salary at the time.
Yeah, I hear the whole thing is just like shitting on Jerry Krause.
More or less. He does also assemble the team. It's one of those things. It's like he's never there to defend himself. So I'm sure there's somebody out there who like could point out that there probably were some positives. But yeah, he gets trashed and he looks like trash most of the time. yeah, that's something to watch. That is sports, yeah. Which is nice. Anything else from you for sports?
I miss it.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know. I don't think so. It's weird. I think I've settled into, we were sort of touching on this last week about how we're kind of used to it now. We're not so much we're used to it, but like we can't remember what it was like to have it. And I feel like I've sort of settled into this thing of like, I miss it terribly and I would give so much to watch a game tomorrow.
It would be playoff time.
It would be round one of
the playoffs right now.
But now I'm also like used to it not existing. So my brain can't decide whether or not I'm like upset about it or not. I find it hard now that the weather's getting better. I find it hard not to be like, oh, I'd be like walking to a bar to watch a game tonight. That's been hard.
Right.
Because it's playoff time.
Right. Yeah. Disappointing to think that it would be, we'd have all the matchups, like they'd be starting to take shape and it would be very exciting, but COVID-19, you know?
Yeah. Never knowing what the Raptors could have done is going to be interesting.
It's tough. That's going to be like just the way this season was going. It's going to be a really unique sort of tough to get closure from, I think.
Yeah. I'm curious because I know my answer to this and I'm surprised at my answer to this, but do you care about missing the Leafs at all? Other than like sports as a concept?
No, I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah. Okay. Me either. Yeah. Same.
Sadly.
Yeah.
There's only so much room and I was gearing up for baseball. So
yeah,
something had to go.
Same.
We move forward. We have Match of the Week, Song of the Week, Does This Freak You Out, and the Mailbag coming up on the other side. We move forward. Speaking of moving forward, always moving forward, every Monday, Columbia House Party. Jake, your Song of the Week.
My Song of the Week is actually a song I was going to pick anyway, and then when I was taking a shower about an hour ago, realized that it actually ties in perfectly to this week, unintentionally, but I'm really proud of it, and now I probably shouldn't reveal that, but you know our process. We don't think things through. Right. My Song of the Week, tying into our new t-shirt with 100% of proceeds going to Red Door Shelter, is a song called The Red Door by a band called Restorations, who are one of my favorite bands. They wrote I think I've talked to them before. They wrote my favorite song of the last decade, which is not this song, but this is a very good song. But as I was thinking about what song to pick, this song was in my head yesterday, so I was going to pick it. And then Taylor's like, it's the same name as the charity. So now I have to pick this, and I'm going to. So yeah, The Red Door by Restorations. Great band, great song. Check it out.
Great pick. The match of the week is Matt Jackson versus Nick Jackson from BTE 200 on YouTube this week. It was the 200th episode of the Young Bucks like video series they've been doing for 4 years. And the two brothers fight all over their house and compound and basketball court and homemade ring. It's really funny and really well put together. Probably there's been a bunch of like empty arena matches in the last 6 weeks, and I think this was the best of them. And it ended with a nice montage of where the web series has been over the last 4 years. So if you watch BET at all, episode 200 was great, and it was definitely match of the week.
Did you see the Kael Sonnen empty arena UFC fight?
No, I did not. I didn't know he was still anything.
Apparently he has some really, I just read it because there was an article on unnamed temporary sports blog about his like bad opinions about the coronavirus. And he apparently fought last week or this weekend in an empty arena thing. And it's just eerie. Like that's a sport. It's interesting. Like that's a sport that needs a crowd.
Was there like the corner where the corner guys yelling instructions?
No. There were two commentators that may or may not have. I wasn't sure if I'm reading because I admittedly did not read it that closely, but there are two commentators who I believe were commentating from outside the building on like a remote feed, and then a ref and two fighters. I assume there were corner people there for like in between rounds because I just don't see how that's possible to not have them. But from what I could hear from the brief time I watched it, it's just like a quiet UFC match, and like you need, as I'm not a huge fan of UFC, but like, man, you need like a bloodthirsty crowd to make that not just horrifying.
Yeah, that is the case with basically all the wrestling. It's so reliant on crowd interaction that you need to be like gimmicky, because the just watching shows in empty arenas has run quite thin, quite thin.
Yeah.
Okay. What doesn't freak you out this week, Jake? Give me an unfreak out.
Oh, that's a good one. Unfreak out. You know what? My non-freak out for this week, you sort of alluded to it earlier when you were talking about tidying and like doing things around the house. Cassie's gotten a bunch of new plants and has been like reorganizing plants in the apartment. And they all look really nice and like in the sun. It just like, it's a sense of normalcy, and B, just like, you know, we're, I don't want to say trapped, because I'm not trapped, like we're in our apartments all the time. It's nice to have someone here who is A, putting the effort in to make the place look nicer, which I am certainly not doing, and B, just like someone who's making the place look nicer and feeling homey and feeling like a place that's like comfortable and good to sit around in, even if I don't really understand how plants are, and I killed a bunch of them last year, so you know, I'm not good at plants.
Yeah, I'm not good at plants either. I don't blame you for that. That's a good pick. Good work.
What doesn't freak you out?
Boy, what doesn't freak me out? I think good question. just being able to like reflect on being still very lucky in this, I think, has been sort of anchoring as like bad things continue to mount up for not just the pandemic, but the effects on everyone and everything and external stress. And I think just sort of being able to reflect on it not being as bad as it really could be for us has been calming in a way.
Totally.
We move forward to the mailbag. Terry asks, what albums of the year so far? Which is a quarterly Blake Murphy tweet.
That's right. Do you want to go first?
what's that one? You know the one.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go.
People in my life keep saying Dua Lipa. How about that?
Yeah, she's a person. I'm listening to her album, but I hear it's good. Words. Yeah, it's a name, I think.
Like, I know it's a name. It typed. Yeah.
I know it's a name. I don't know if it's actually her name, but it's her like singing name.
Sure.
So not just two words. I believe it's a first. Anyway. Someone asked me, a friend of mine asked me today what I've been listening to, and I realized that I haven't really been listening to anything new that much through all this, which is kind of annoying. but it's true. But if I had to pick off the top of my head albums that have come out this year and like anything that came out before March, I don't know what year it came out in. I realized today. Right. Like, it could have come out this year. It could have come out 3 years ago. I have no idea. Anything after, like, March 10th is just dust to me. Or before March 10th, I should say. But so far, I really like... Everyone's talking about it. Hard to ignore it. The new Fiona Apple album that came out last week is as amazing as all the hype. I love it. It's great. I don't totally buy into this whole, like, it sounds like nothing else thing that people are saying. Cause it doesn't, but it's so good that it doesn't matter. So that's great. Dogleg, which I've talked about here before, which came out right as this started. So it will forever be linked as my pandemic record, unfortunately, is great. The album's called Melee. It kicks ass. The Fiona Apple album's called Fetch the Bolt Cutters. What else? The new Whack the Hatchie is really good. The new Brian Fallon is great. The Rat Boys record is really good. I know that Blake, I replied to Blake with a stain. I already forget what I said. And I know I forgot a bunch of records, but I'll go with those five to start.
Good picks. Jay Nielsen asks us, what is the oldest item of clothing you own and still regularly wear? And what state is it in? And what does your partner think about it?
I have a Neutral Milk Hotel t-shirt that I believe is from the summer of 2008. It's in decent shape. It has like one hole in the side of it. Cassie fucking hates it. I am not keeping it for sentimental reasons. I just think I look good in it. And she's shaking her head from the couch as I say that. Cassie actually has a picture of me from, I want to say 2016, of me holding up my phone, with a picture of me on Facebook from 2008 wearing the shirt. And then wearing the shirt in the picture from 2016. I think that's my oldest shirt. I also have a cursive t-shirt that's from, I think that's from 2010. So not quite as old, maybe 2011. But yeah, definitely that. And I'm not even that big a Neutral Milk Hotel fan. I just like the shirt. Like, they're not a band I ever think about or listen to. But yeah, Cassie fucking hates it. What's yours?
I have a Taking Back Sunday shirt from 2004.
Wow, you beat me.
That's basically half my life now, almost.
It's right? Literally half mine.
Crazy. Yeah, from that fabled Taking Back Sunday, the used Blink-182 show that everybody was at.
Right.
The amphitheater. And it's in decent shape. And I don't wear it like out, but... I'll wear it around the house. I've worn it in quarantine. How about that for
okay, fair enough.
A qualifier? So that counts as regular wear. Yeah.
Oh, I have the same Leafs jersey I've had since eighth grade.
Ooh, that's pretty.
I never wear it, though. I don't think I've worn it in 6 years.
I might have a Blue Jays jersey that's older than that Taking Back Sunday shirt. That it fits Melissa and not me.
Right. But that's not like clothes, though.
Is it regularly wear was the qualifier. So
okay. So yeah. So not that.
Those don't count. Kristen asks us, if we were the hosts of a talk show, each of us individually, who would the first three guests be and why? I would take you, obviously, for the banter, and that would be a build.
Would I be your like Richard Kind? Would I be your Andy Richter?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, that feels Richard
Kind. And then who would be our A-slot guest? You'd want like Tom Hanks. I want like a Tom Hanks level.
You need someone who's like reliably good on talk shows.
Yeah.
Hanks was right.
Right? I think that's what Conan did for his first show. Not Richard Conan.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And not you and I.
No, absolutely not.
Any other picks for you that you would, if you were hosting?
If I was hosting, I would also have you as my Andy Richter, of course.
Makes sense.
I'd have Steve as our band leader. I think Steve is our like Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
That we could throw to and he'd just like hate it.
And he would react to the bad jokes.
He would react to the bad jokes and just shake his head, but he wouldn't join in. I feel like Hanks is a good, Hanks or like a Paul Rudd, I feel like is always a good bet.
Oh, Paul Rudd's a good one. And why is because we're always talking about him.
Yeah, it's true. He's always in conversation of everybody.
People love Paul Rudd.
I love Paul Rudd, but like he's just everywhere.
Yeah, that's us. We're people.
We are. It's true. We are the general population. We're straight in white. We're straight white and 30. We are exactly the average.
In that situation where people like Paul Rudd, we are people.
Yeah.
What team, this is from Didymus, what team or player would you like to see they get the Last Dance treatment? Big documentary, 10 parts.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, Halliday is an easy one.
Yeah.
You got everything. You have a tragic end. You have a huge high.
That is true. The emotional parting of ways between the Blue Jays
and
going to the Phillies. Maybe last year's Raptors team. I would watch 10 part.
I feel like it almost has to be basketball.
I think when you, the part of the appeal of The Last Dance is the unprecedented, like, behind the scenes cameras, because they let them everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think if you, last year's Raptors team with trading for Kawhi and then having Kawhi and then losing Kawhi, I think that would be a neat sub story for a 10-part.
Yes. And then like starting and losing DeMar and starting there and all the drama.
So
there.
I think it's last year's Raptors team. That's especially good. There was a little bit of distance.
But now what I'm thinking about, I feel like it has to be basketball if we're talking North America, because if it is this like behind the scenes access, like nothing is interesting in baseball or hockey. Like I don't need to hear those guys talk.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind in 10 years, like how the league decided to shut down this year.
Oh, like a coronavirus?
Because that was the beginning, right? Made everything move is the NBA stopping.
I would definitely, I don't know if I'd watch a 10 part, but like a 30 for 30 on that Jazz Thunder game for sure.
Right. And seeing where this goes, depending on what happens with when this season gets canceled or what they try to do or the process of planning things they might do that they won't end up doing. Some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I like that.
Andrew R., what is your current guilty pleasure pop song? Guilty pleasure pop song.
I don't know if mine counts.
Okay.
But it's a song from the first episode of this season of RuPaul's Drag Race that has been stuck in my head every day for now, I guess, like 8 weeks since it aired. Basically, are you caught up? Have you watched this season yet?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, in the first episode, the challenge is to do the original song thing that they do. And they do a rap song called I'm That Bitch, and it's been stuck in my head for weeks. It's also really good. It's the only Drag Race song I've ever been like, wow, that's actually a real song. But that's been stuck in my head for weeks. So I'm just going to say that because it's still in my head. So I don't know if it counts, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't think I have one. Sorry.
That's fair.
Kramer with the old FMK, Jose Bautista, Troy Tulowitzki, Travis Snyder. This is actually pretty simple for me, truthfully.
It's really tough for me. Actually, no, that's the lie. It's pretty simple for me. I just don't want to say it out loud.
Sure. I have to kill Tulo. It's no hard feelings.
Of course.
I would marry Snyder and fuck Bautista. Pretty easy.
I think I would fuck Tulo, marry Jose, and kill Snyder.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Not that anything against him. I have no personal connection to Snyder, so it's kind of like whatever.
Right. Yeah. For me, there's locking down long term with Tulo only ended with nothing. Really, he got hurt.
Fair point.
Travis Snyder still playing baseball. The rest of those. Not. Do you
Jose's
have a favorite?
Jose's
mug?
Coming back as a pitcher.
That's Mets bullpen. Bex asks you, do you have a favorite mug? If so, please describe the mug.
I do, but I feel I know that the people I got from one of them is kind of a shitty dude now. There used to be a podcast called Citizen Radio, hosted by, I forget her name, which is terrible, and also by a guy named Jamie Kilstein, who was a comedian, who I believe was outed in the whole Me Too thing and then like turned right around and became like a men's rights guy and like sucks ass. But they made mugs, a couple mugs that were different designs of that say fuck the NRA that I have. And I enjoy them because they say fuck the NRA.
I have a mug that says don't talk to me until I've had two coffees.
Not the coffee slut?
No, that is I do drink out of the coffee slut every day. It's a espresso glass that I believe says coffee shot, but it looks like it says coffee slut. I use it every day. Garrett asks, your all-time home run derby lineup.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How so am I picking here?
I guess you will do 4 AL, 4 NL. How's that?
Okay, that works.
So I would say Bonds and McGuire are no doubters. The AL, you would want Vladdy Jr., no question.
Yep, for sure.
Stanton.
What? Okay. I'm going very home run derby specific here.
Yes.
Was it Brady Anderson who went off 1 year?
He went off in his season. I don't know about in a home run derby. Bonds has definitely won one. And you want Bonds in there.
Yeah, you want Bonds just always. I am thinking of... I'm thinking of Garrett Anderson, 2003 Anaheim Angels.
That's
sure. Who I'm thinking of.
I'll put Garrett Anderson on there. I don't care. I feel like Prince Fielder.
Prince, yeah. Yeah, he won too.
Or we could do AL. We could do both Vladdy Jr. and Senior.
Prince has won in both leagues, so we can put him wherever.
Okay.
So we'll sorry. Yes. Yeah, yes.
We'll do two Vladimir Guerreros.
Yes.
And Garrett
Anderson. Let's put Prince in the AL to keep the legacy aspect alive.
I love it.
So
and then in the NL.
And then Garrett, yeah.
In the NL, we do Bonds. McGuire.
I'm kicking Garrett Anderson out.
Garrett Anderson, you're out.
I'm kicking Garrett Anderson out for Ken Griffey Jr.
Beautiful. Perfect. Great idea. AL, looking stacked.
Do you put Sammy in there?
Why not? Get McGuire.
Yeah.
It's sentimental. And then, I guess...
Not a lot of, like... I'm looking at the list right now. Mm-hmm. I know the last two have been NL. Not a ton of, like, notable NL winners of the home run derby.
You could do, like, Stanton, Bryce Harper.
Stanton, you're right. Yeah. Should be in there.
You could do Florida Stanton if really wanted to.
Yeah.
Let's do Florida Stanton. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, unless we want to go back to, like, Ryan Sandberg. I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
You could do, like, Ryan Howard. Anyway.
Unless we want to go Jock, because Jock was dope last year.
Yeah. Sure. Jock.
You're done.
Well, it's a good lineup. Brian asks us, what's the superior yard game? I like bocce, frankly.
I'm a big bocce fan. Giant Jenga is up there for me. I don't know if it counts as a yard game.
Oh. I played some badminton in my day. I'll tell you that much.
Yep. Yeah. What's the one with like the trampoline that you spike the spike ball? Spike ball is fun as hell. Spike ball is so fun.
Never played, but it always looked like a fun.
It's really, it's like, I didn't want it to be fun. So I was like, everyone looks like a dummy playing it, but it's real fun.
Shanna Planner, how big of an asterisk is on the Stanley Cup Larry OB if they are won this year? If there was like
the biggest possible.
Yeah. I think this will be like, if you came back and they did 18 playoffs where like 4 in each league and like the Nuggets won, you know?
Or like honestly, or the Raptors, like it's
right. Totally. Basically, if they do this and anybody other than the Lakers or Clippers wins, then everyone's going to be like, that doesn't count.
I feel like part of me, part of me feels like if they're going to do it, do a 32 team tournament.
Risky. I like it.
Just like how is like, I know it's too many people, first of all, which is like fair.
Yeah.
But like, if we're talking fairness of winning something, just put everyone in.
Yeah. Okay. They don't have 32 teams for any of these.
You know what I mean? Whatever. 30 teams. Give the top two a bye.
Okay.
Or however that works mathematically.
Yeah. They would figure it out. They'd figure out a way to.
Every team should be in is my point.
Okay.
And then you decide the draft. Then you decide the draft by who goes out first.
That's wow.
You'd watch it.
I mean, there's no question. There's no question. Quad A player asks us, how often do you shower now? Less often than I probably should, if we're being frank.
I try to shower every day.
You're killing it. You're an adult.
I'm actually showering more now than I did before the pandemic, which is probably not a thing I should admit. But I feel like it does keep a sense of A, cleanliness, which I think is really important in a pandemic. Like, it just keeps my brain sane. I try to shower. I don't shower every day, but I try to shower every day during this. It's just like,
that's good.
A good way to end the day, refresh. I'm definitely not showering in the morning anymore, but.
Mark asks, what food are you going to make yourself sick eating the second this is all over? For me, he says, it'll be chicken wings. Follow-up question, why are there no good frozen chicken wings? We must have the technology, mustn't we? I think it's like a fried chicken sandwich. I've eaten wings in isolation, and I will eat a ton of wings, but I love a big fucking fried chicken sandwich. Spicy.
I think...
only because I've ordered wings in and made wings also.
Right. You can also order a fried chicken sandwich in.
That is true.
There are many places you can do that from.
I don't live near many good ones, but you're right.
I think mine's going to be pizza.
Ooh.
And hear me out.
The original delivery food.
Yeah. Cassie can't really eat pizza, so we haven't had any, which is fine. But it's something I order usually when she like is out for the night and I need something to eat. And because I haven't, I feel like once this is over... the first night that I'm like home alone, it's just gonna be like, give me like 17 extra large pizzas.
Pizza boy. I like it. Good pick. Not a full Colin. What's the ranking of sports video games to do a be a pro mode in? What's the best position in each game? And should I start some new ones?
Are we ranking here? Which one does it best or which one do we like the most?
I think you can sort of speak to whichever one of those you want.
Okay. I think FIFA does the best experience.
Really?
Yeah. I like how they do Road to the Show.
Road to the Show is a very immersive mode.
I agree it's super immersive, but I think because it's baseball, it's a little slower as like individual positions.
I suppose that's true. You get only plays you're involved in, though. It does like speed along.
Yeah,
you
play games very quickly. That's kind of what I mean. I only find Road to the Show enjoyable if I'm a pitcher.
Ah, see, I find the opposite. Like,
interesting.
Because, you know, it takes you half an hour, let's say, to pitch a game, wherein half an hour as a hitter, you're three or four games in already.
That's true. There's something about the choppiness of it that I just kind of get like, I don't know.
Once I'm in a hitting rhythm, I can rip through like 2 months and be in Road to the Show pretty quick.
Fair enough. I will admit I don't play a ton of
Be a
Pro modes anymore.
Neither do I.
But I think NBA would be great if it wasn't so reliant on actually paying money now.
I'm sure. Actually playing in the 2K league is probably tons of fun, but the barrier of entry in playing a Be a Pro online for like NBA and NHL versus like when you play them against the computer, you can do that in FIFA and MLB a little more effectively.
I agree with that.
Cause like NHL Be a Pro against the computer is not fun really.
No. But
doing it online in those were like, if you had five friends and you were every player on the ice, and you had like an EA league team, that I can see being a lot of fun.
I've always wanted one of those, but like, I also have never done it.
You don't want to be,
I was going to say I don't have five friends, but you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. I've always wanted to do it as well, but then you also immediately don't want to be like beholden to having to play a video game at a certain date at a certain time.
Yeah, 100%.
Chris asks us, you get to magically do Sportsfeld Live after all. Which athlete would you like to invite on this show?
It's got to be Kyle Lowry, right?
Yeah, Kyle's a good pick.
Or Serge, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably Serge right now in terms of like a draw and like entertainment value.
I feel like he'd bring the most. Serge would probably bring the most to the show.
Yeah.
He's not the one I'd want to like interview the most, but I think he would be the most entertaining from a show aspect.
It would become the Serge show, as it would with any of these guys.
Well, yeah, of course. If any professional athlete showed up to a live sports film, it's no longer a live sports film. It's let's talk to the famous man.
Right.
Or but woman. Or woman.
If Serge was there, it wouldn't be us being like, let's talk to Serge. It would be like, Serge is talking now. It's Serge's show and we're on it.
Yeah.
Versus like, yes, if we brought up Kevin Biggio, he wouldn't be like, all right, I'm in charge. He would be like, get me off the stage.
True. Please. Although also he'd probably be in charge.
Yeah, for sure. so I think it's Serge. Rick, the last question. Favorite sports video game soundtrack?
I'm going to have to Google this. I know what mine is, but I have to Google it. I know mine's an NHL.
Mine is MLB 07, the show. David Wright.
Ooh. What's on that one?
A song called Caught Up in a Rundown by a band called Over It that I believe only exists for this soundtrack.
Okay. So I actually have two answers.
It's probably an NBA 2K. They always had really good.
I have two answers to this. I have one that's my actual favorite one for sentimental reasons and one that's my favorite one for only sentimental reasons.
Okay.
The one that's my actual favorite one for non-sentimental reasons, which are also totally sentimental, is NHL 2003, which has such hits as Headstrong by Trapped.
Wow.
Sweetness by Jimmy Eat World. Deny by Default. No One Knows by Queens of the Stone Age. Sick With You by Gob, the best Gob song. Ivan Up These Steps, also by Gob. Slow Me Down, also by Default. And a song called She Loves Me Not by a little band called Papa Roach. the one that's my favorite for sentimental reasons. That is also kind of good. Weirdly, both came out when I was in high school. Weird.
Okay.
Is Madden 2004, which has Yellow Card, Thrice, Gob, Joe Budden, Blink-182, AFI, Alien Ant Farm, Avenged Sevenfold, Jet, Outkast, The Roots, Killer Mike, Bubba Sparks. Actually, that's the best one. That's not even for sentimental. That's just a good one. Madden 2004.
Honorable mention I'm giving to WWE's SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. A terrible, terrible actual soundtrack, but it was always on in my college house. So I've heard it endlessly for like a year and a half. And that's it. No Tony Hawk. Good for us.
Yeah.
Nothing left to do but to answer the question that always comes at the end. It's Sad or Not Sad. After this. And we come to the end of the show. Time, since we have, well, we've been doing since the show started. We are doing Sad or Not Sad. But before we do that, I mention again of the t-shirts. We have a new Sportsfeld shirt. Stay home and listen to Sportsfeld. 100% of the proceeds going to Red Door Family Shelter. They support women and families in crisis. They have two emergency shelters and an active outreach program in Toronto. Red Door, they serve families in need during COVID-19. They get 100% the proceeds from the new Sportsfeld shirt. Shop.sportsfeld.ca. Anyway, Jake, I ask you this simple question. Are you sad or not sad?
I like that you said that's a simple question. And these days it's not. I don't know if it is these days. I'm just going to go with what I'm feeling in the moment right now, which is not sad. Because I feel like I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm starting to get into a rhythm with this nonsense. You know, ups and downs, goods and bads. But as you sort of talked about earlier and as we talked about last week, we are so very lucky comparatively to so many people, not even for like privilege reasons, like including definitely all privilege reasons, but like the fact that like we don't live in fucking Georgia right now seems great. I feel like just our situation could be so much worse for so many reasons. And I don't want our show to turn into week after week of us being like, boy, we got it great. But, you know, it's tough out there right now for so many people. And even though it is tough for us, comparatively, it's so not tough. And it's hard for me to... it's hard for me to, like, sort of justify being too upset or sad these days based on that, because I just know like there's so much awful out there. You know, we haven't even touched on like the awful shit that went down in Nova Scotia this weekend. And like, there's just so much bad out there. And it's hard for me to really feel that down on my life when I'm comparing to what's going on outside.
Well said. I'll throw in a sad just for like all the terrible things. I think an acknowledgement, as you mentioned, we didn't talk about Nova Scotia, but that was a very, to have that happen ever would weigh heavily. And then to know, you know, what a community Nova Scotia is and people we know from Nova Scotia who are so fiercely proud of Nova Scotia and sort of the way people always hold reverence of that when that's their home. And just how in this time, how unbelievable that is that would happen in that way with the state of things already being what they are. It's harrowing. As well as just, you know, a reminder to myself to be better when I can, any place. As you mentioned, you feel like you're in a routine with things. I think I am too, but I don't know it's a good routine. I think I'm sort of in a bad routine right now, I think is probably how I would say. So just an acknowledgement that I need to solve that a little bit, but not so bad. It's a sad, but acknowledgement that very lucky. Also, the grocery store I go to had COVID-19.
Yeah.
I was there the last day that the person who had it was there. So that's been a weird feeling to have all day. Because like, I'm just like, oh, damn. So now now any quarantining I did, I basically have to start back at zero is how it feels. But that's the battle we fight.
And yeah.
I know that's a sad way to end it.
I mean, that's what this is, right? Like it's everything that anyone is, it gets so many ups and downs constantly right now, I think. Like what, like it's minute to minute during all this.
Anyway, that's it. We thank you for coming along for another week of the show as we continue to traverse through this whole thing and talk about it every week. We thank Sean and Clay for the platform to do so, and Dylan, who is still doing all the work no matter what. Dylan does all the work,
really figuring out how to make us this possible at all.
I don't even know what we would do. We would be
truly texting.
We'd be in a group chat and it wouldn't be a show, frankly. That's what it would be. we thank you most of all, more than anybody, for letting this happen. And we thank you for listening to Sportsfeld.
Sportsfeld!